Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening. Welcome in. It's the Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI. We are live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. We are Boston Sports Original. Nice to have you with us here tonight on this Monday, the 28th of July. And along with Boston, we're coming to you live in Portland and Saco, Upper Valley, Keene, Brattleboro, Springfield, Worcester, Providence, Cape Cod, and the Islands. And if you're not in any of those places, you can stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. How about that? You can also listen to the WEEI Christian Arcan Show Afternoons, Greg Hill Show, and Jones and Keefe podcast on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. But enough of the pleasantries. We don't have a lot of time tonight, more so than usual. Usually I'm only on here for like a minute or two. I got two whole segments tonight. I want to dedicate one of them to the Red Sox and the other one to the various headlines that I saw today that I all thought were quite funny. I think there's a lot of funny news in the world of sports right now. Certainly in the world of the NFL and also in baseball. A gambling scandal, Bryce Harper getting nose-to-nose with Rob Manfred in some meeting with for the Players Association, which I think is going to be setting up a really ugly CBA negotiation. So enjoy baseball while you can, folks. And wouldn't that just be such a baseball thing? You finally get ratings up. You finally get young people interested in it again. You're turning around all the negative press. You got the pitch clock going. People are interested again. It's working. It's a growth industry again, and then you turn around and you lock out. Isn't that the most baseball thing of all time? The most Major League Baseball thing of all time. I don't want to. I'm hoping that if I say it, that'll like prevent it from happening. I'm not trying to speak it into existence. Other people already have. But it really does seem like the most Major League Baseball type of thing you can possibly do. They cannot ever make any progress without not just shooting themselves in the foot, but blowing their entire foot off with a grenade launcher. Anyways, that's not what I want to talk about right now. What I want to talk about is the Red Sox and what happened over the weekend. Because what happened over the weekend, I think, was as important as any two games, Saturday and Sunday, as the Red Sox have had all year. You were very close to losing all three of those series. And coming out of that stretch after the All-Star break looking like total and utter frauds. And they were real close. It was close. They were 2-4. And then they lost that first game. 2-5. They got swept. They would have been 2-7. You know, like, it's just you're doing the math in your head. And it's, oh boy, if they can win these next two and get to 4-5 and survive these 9 games. That's all you really want. Like, I didn't expect them to go out there and blow doors. I didn't think they were going to sweep anybody, you know? Like, can you win one of these? Can you not get swept? They didn't get swept by the Cubs. They didn't get swept by the Phillies. They almost did. But can you avoid that? Can you avoid getting swept by the Dodgers? And they did. And that was a Dodgers team that's been scuffling for a while. You saw some issues with that team. Saw the Red Sox take advantage of some of those issues. You saw some of the Red Sox old issues rear their heads again over the weekend. But you saw them fight to the end. You saw Alex Bregman come through big. And you saw that bullpen pitched 7 1/3 scoreless innings over the course of those two games. And I know that bullpen help is something that you want to get at the trade deadline because of just the amount of wear and tear on everybody's arms, and it's just better to have more arms and more bodies. I get it, especially in the back end. But this Red Sox bullpen this year deserves a lot of credit. They really do. They're one of the sneaky best bullpens in the league, I think. And that's just statistically. I think that with their bullpen ERA this year is 3.30. That's the fourth best in the majors. And I know ERA isn't the be-all, end-all, but isn't that substantial? Like, isn't that something that you, like, look at a team going into the trade deadline and say, wow, that's a real strength of this team. That's been a real strength this year. And there's other areas where they've had strong impact, certainly with their top-of-rotation starters. They've had some big-time contributions all up and down that lineup. Not from anyone who stayed hot all year. Like, that's one thing that I would like to see maybe be addressed at the deadline. Just a little less platoon stuff. A little more stability in the lineup. You see other teams going out and addressing that already. You see the Yankees doing that. You see the Mariners doing that. I like to see the Red Sox do it. And as we all know, we'd like to see the Red Sox go out and acquire some starting pitching. And while I do think that's still the most important thing, I don't know if it's the most like urgent, needs to be addressed right now thing. And the way I sort of look at it is you came out of that break and could not score any runs. Your starting pitching was a little weaker than before. Like, Lucas Giolito, not great. You didn't see great stuff from him. I thought Buehler was okay, but he only lasted, you know, 4 2/3. I think that if you were really hoping that it was going to be Crochet, Giolito, and Brian Bello as a 1-2-3, and that those three as a top three could be a World Series top three, I don't know if you can still believe that after the end. Crochet, obviously you can, but I don't know about the other two. I don't know if you can still believe that after watching their latest couple starts. And that's not to say they have no place on the team, but if you were looking at that and saying, yeah, you don't need to add in the rotation. Look, you got a number two right there in Giolito, and Bello could be a number two also. So what do you need to go out and trade for a number two for? I think that may be sort of in the wind right now. And Giolito, Bello, both of those guys, listen, they've had very, very good stretches this year. But they've also had some tough ones, and there's also been times where they looked like not ineffective completely, but Giolito was having trouble getting out of the first inning for a while. Brian Bello couldn't get past the fifth inning. Like, there was times this year where it seemed like these guys were really struggling. And that's been a microcosm of this Red Sox experience this year, hasn't it? You've seen guys go on crazy hot streak and then guys go in the tank. Sedan Rafael is a good example right now. It's been 7 games, and he's 1-for-29, something like that. I mean, like, he's completely cooled off. Trevor Story has had crazy mood swings this year of going hot and cold. Crazy swings. Jaron Duran, who is very, very hot right now, was not most of the year. I mean, he's now suddenly getting his slugging percentage up, and that's great. But you're talking about a team that has just been so maddeningly inconsistent offensively that I think that's maybe the more urgent problem to address right now. I think that may be more urgent. You do have other bodies. You do have other guys you can throw out there. There are players coming back from injuries. There are players in the minor leagues in terms of pitching. It's not great, but I think that you still have enough arms going for you right now in that starting rotation that are eating innings and giving you enough quality starts that you can get by. I don't know if you can get by with this offense going in the tank this often. I don't think that'll work. You've had a pretty consistent bullpen. You have a rotation that you can feel okay about. I just think offensively, and took me a while to come to this, but I think offensively that's the more realistic trades that can be made. Not a lot of pitchers are getting traded, and certainly not a lot of pitchers with the term on their deals. And you know the Red Sox don't want to trade for any rentals, but, you know, rental bats, those are going for pretty reasonable prices right now. The Mariners got one for their 13th and 16th best prospects. That's not anything special. You were able to get Josh Naylor for that? Great. Yankees gave up their 9th and I think their 20th for Ryan McMahon. Like, you know, you can Ahmed Rosario, excuse me. Those guys, you're going out there and making moves and not really having to give up the farm for these rental bats. I think the Red Sox are the perfect team to get a rental bat right now. Perfect team to do that. And I don't mean that as disrespect to Abraham Toro or Romy Gonzalez or Rob Refsnyder or any David Hamilton or any of the other guys on this bench, because the Red Sox do have a very deep bench. But that's really much more of a priority than it should be. Much more of a priority than it should be. Alex Cora has had to mix and match so often with this team. Just never the same. We've got Roman Anthony leading off now. And he decides, yeah, okay, Anthony's going to be the leadoff guy going forward after he did it one game and did very well, but just one game and you decide that. Okay, well, that's interesting. So now what? All of a sudden we're being consistent with our starting lineup. That's an interesting new twist on this season, because there's been a lot of different leadoff hitters. There's been a lot of different cleanup hitters. Everybody's been all over the lineup, it feels like. And I wonder if Alex Cora is just like, all right, enough. Anthony, you're the leadoff guy. That's it. Jaron Duran, you're batting third. And that's how we're going to do it. I am tired of this. And, you know, we got 5 days until the trade deadline, Craig and everybody in the front office. I really would like to stop having to mix and match every night. So here we go. Leadoff hitter, number three hitter. And I don't want any more notes from you guys about who I'm supposed to platoon. All right? Make a move, and let's get a lineup here. Because that's how I'm feeling. I don't know if Cora's feeling that way, but, you know, making a big declaration like that, that's not the way this Red Sox team's operated. You know, you don't know who's going to be what or when. The computer will tell you that. We'll have our nerds up there in the front office. They'll write out the card. They'll let you know everything. Roman Anthony's the leadoff guy going forward. That's not how we do business anymore. No, no, no. We go by what the best matchup is. Well, interesting. Because I understood it when it was Duran, Devers, Bregman, okay? It's a pretty easy 1-2-3. Right now, you're sort of in this weird in-between. We don't know that Roman Anthony is the best choice at leadoff. We know that's what they're choosing right now, but this is a very sort of risky maneuver that you're doing. Not just to have him bat leadoff, but to say you're batting leadoff for the foreseeable future. What if it doesn't go well? You're just going to leave him out there? You know, like, I'm a little surprised by this. I'm a little surprised by this, and it's not because I don't have faith in the kid. I think he's perfectly capable of being a fine leadoff hitter for this team. But we've also seen him go in the tank with the bat a little bit, too, at this early point in his career, which is very understandable for a 21-year-old rookie, okay? Very understandable. I'm old enough to remember back before he got called up, people saying, you don't want to put too much pressure on the kid, but right before the trade deadline, we're going to have you batting leadoff for the foreseeable future. How's that? How's that for pressure? How's that for trying to have a smooth transition to the majors? And again, he's been good lately. And that was a great game he had last night. Listen, he was seeing the ball very, very well. He's getting on base. Got hit by a pitch. I don't really know why I said that last part, but he did. He got on base. You know, he's doing well. He's doing great. But just announcing that he's the leadoff guy, I was surprised to hear that today. I was very surprised to hear that today. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll take some phone calls in the second segment here as we get to some headlines, because there are some very odd headlines in the world of sports that I do feel as though I have to get to. I'd be doing you all a big disservice if I let these go by. Because I don't know if these are still going to be big stories on Wednesday and Thursday. I don't have a full show until Wednesday. Red Sox are playing a day game. They got tonight, they got tomorrow, then Wednesday. It's a 1 o'clock start, so that'll cut into WEEI afternoons. And I should have a full show unless they go, you know, crazy extra innings or something. And then on Thursday, it's a scheduled day off, so we'll have a normal full show then as well. And I don't know if this Christian Wilkins thing is still going to be a popular story by then. I have no idea. I have a feeling it's not going anywhere, but I'm not sure. But we do have to get to that. We do also have to get to this Emmanuel Clause thing. And this gambling scandal that they were able to zero right in on him, but still Shohei Ohtani, that whole thing. I don't know. Must be the translator. It's pretty interesting. And there's this whole thing with Rob Manfred and Bryce Harper and a big angry exchange that saw Bryce Harper telling off the commish, which we'll get into that as well. First here is Dan Ball. He's going to get you caught up on what's trending. It's the Christian Arcand Show. 617-779-7937 is the phone.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Phone number, here's Dan. All right, it's a little before 6:30, but again, we got a different clock tonight because we got to throw things over to Red Sox baseball. I'm basically, it's like a self-alley-oop is what's happening here, as I will have you for the Mass Mutual pregame show beginning at 6:40. The Red Sox in Minnesota taking on the Twins in the first of three, and we'll have more on that in just a minute. Right now, though, we got to get to some headlines, and let's go ahead and begin with Major League Baseball and a gambling scandal that saw Cleveland Guardians closer Emmanuel Clase on Monday, that's today, placed on non-disciplinary paid leave through August 31st as part of Major League Baseball's investigation into sports gambling. He is the second Guardians pitcher to get caught up. The first one was Luis Ortiz, who the Red Sox traded for last year, right? Isn't that the same Luis Ortiz? No, it's Luis Garcia. It's a different Luis. Sorry about that. Luis Ortiz, who's on non-disciplinary paid leave after he was put there July 3rd, and this was because of unusual gambling activity on a couple of pitches that he threw for balls, which, again, they're really figuring these things out quick, huh? In a statement, the Guardian said no additional players or club personnel are expected to be impacted, we hope, by the investigation. The investigation, a source confirmed, has not turned up information tying other players with the team to sports gambling. Clase finished third in AL Cy Young voting last year, had a .61 ERA. And he's already allowed more hits this year than last year. His ties to the investigation started following a June 27th alert from something called IC360. That's a firm that monitors betting markets for abnormalities. In other words, a bunch of snitches, a bunch of narcs out there trying to delete any edge that anybody can possibly find. IC360, those scoundrels. They monitor betting markets, and how he ties into the investigation is unclear, but sports books and gambling operators were alerted after a spike in action in Ortiz's first pitch in the bottom of the second inning against the Mariners on June 15th and then the top of the third inning against the Cardinals on June 27th. In both cases, unusual amounts of money were wagered on the pitches being a ball or hit batsman from betting accounts in New York, New Jersey, and Ohio. Both pitches wound up well outside the strike zone. At the All-Star game, Rob Manfred said that while he still supports legal gambling because of the transparency regulation offers, he was concerned about micro bets and ones that offer action on individual pitches. He says there's certain types of bets that strike me as unnecessary and particularly vulnerable. Manfred said, I know there's a lot of sports betting, tons of it that went on illegally, and we had no idea what threats there were to the integrity of play because it was all not transparent. And I firmly believe the transparency and monitoring that we have in place now as a result of legalization and the partnerships that we've made puts us in a better position to protect baseball than we were in before. Now, I've seen clips of this Clase all day, and it's usually like the first pitch being way out of the strike zone, like the first pitch that he throws. So I know you can go on and bet on those, but can I also just say, every time I've ever tried to bet on one of those pitch-by-pitch things, the little lock comes up, and I can't even throw a bet in. The thing's only available for like 10 millimeters of a second, or millisecond, or whatever. You know what I meant, 10 milliseconds. And then you can't even do it. And then it's on to the next pitch, and you have like a very small window where you can even get the bet in, and you have to enter the amount you want to, like, really quickly. And then, boom, there goes the little lock icon again, and that keeps happening. And I know I sound like a raging degenerate right now, but it is one of those things you can bet on that has, like, pretty good odds. You know, most pitches are this or this or that, you know, like, that's usually, you can make some money that way. I'm not saying everybody should go out and try it, but I'm saying it's like it's one of those things that if you had enough time to actually get the bet in, it's not bad. So that's all. I'm sure that whatever this company that monitors spikes in betting is finding is probably true. I don't think that there's any doubt when stuff like that happens. Oh, a bunch of people all started randomly betting on Luis Ortiz to throw a ball at the beginning of the inning. Like, that's odd. That's interesting. And again, I mean, it's gambling, so, you know, You do what you do. You find an edge, you figure something out, you go for it. I'm annoyed that I didn't pick up on this Class A thing sooner. You know, you gotta cash in on these things while you still have a chance to, before the IC360 or whatever it is comes in and ruins everybody's fun.
It's like the GameStop thing, man. If you missed out on that.
Great point. You know, like you miss out, it's over, and all the fun stops. I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what the GameStop thing really was. Like, I knew that it was happening, but I didn't get what it was or why it was happening.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It was a bunch of people all trading GameStop stocks. Because, yeah. Like, as like a joke, basically? Is that what happened?
Basically, selling shorts, but they made a ton of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people probably thought, like, oh, this is a funny thing to do, and then they lost all their money. So, yeah, I like to stay away from that stuff because, number one, I don't understand it, and number two, I don't want to, you know, I gamble enough on sports, which I know a little bit about. I don't know anything about the stock market. I'm not going to gamble on that. No way. Here's another piece of news. Also involving Rob Manfred, and this time it's an angry confrontation that he had during a meeting between Rob Manfred and Bryce Harper in the Phillies team last week, as Bryce Harper told Manfred, get the bleep out of our clubhouse if Manfred wanted to talk about the potential implementation of a salary cap. Not feeling the salary cap is Bryce Harper. That's weird. A baseball player doesn't want to get paid less? That's very strange. The confrontation came in a meeting, one of the 30 that Manfred conducts annually in an effort to improve his relations with every team and their players. It lasted more than an hour. Manfred never explicitly said the word salary cap, sources said. Okay. But a discussion about the game's economics raised the anger of Harper, one of Major League Baseball's most influential players. Ahead of the expiration of the CBA between MLB and the Players Association on December 1st of 2026, multiple owners have stumped for a salary cap in baseball, the only major North American sport, men's North American sport, that doesn't have one. The Players Association opposes the cap, argues it serves more as a tool to increase franchise values than to lessen the game's large disparity between high and low spending teams. Harper didn't say much during the meeting, sat in a chair, held a bat. Weird. Like, that's like, wasn't Gerard Mayo doing that during, like, the Belichick meetings? That's Mayo's right, walking around with a bat, swinging a bat around. Like,
just to try to set a tone, don't say something I don't like.
If you're in a meeting, just don't bring a bat. You know? Like, why be holding a weapon? You know, like, I know it's a bat and they're baseball players, but, like, it's a meeting. Just chill out. You don't need a bat. No need to bring a bat. If you're having a conversation with someone and someone's holding a bat, doesn't that change the entire conversation? Like, Joe Braverman right now is back there with a wiffle ball bat. And I know, if I was talking to him right now and he was doing what he's doing, just slapping it against his hand, I would think, okay, we have a problem here. Something's going to happen here. You know, you walk into a meeting, he's dragging it on the ground like Negan from The Walking Dead, and it's like, well, okay, so what is this now? So why, it's a bat conversation? Anyway, he's standing there with the bat. He grew frustrated and said if Major League Baseball were to propose a cap and hold firm to it, players are not scared to lose 162 games. I think some players might be, Bryce. I think some players who aren't on $400 million contracts like you may not exactly be rushing behind you to lose 162 games. Harper then stood up, walked toward the middle of the room, faced Manfred and said, if you want to speak about that, you can get the beep out of our clubhouse. Yeah. And then he threw his scarf over his shoulder and walked out. That's how I imagine that ending. Manfred, sources said, responded that he was not going to get the bleep out of here. So in your face, Bryce Harper, saying it was important to talk about threats to Major League Baseball's business and ways to grow the game. Before the situation intensified, veteran outfielder Nick Castellanos tried to defuse the tension. Said, I have more questions. So the meeting continued. Harper and Manfred shook hands, although Harper declined to answer phone calls from Manfred the next day. Castellanos told ESPN it was intense, very passionate, both of them. Commissioner giving it back to Bryce. Bryce giving it back to the commissioner. That's Harp. He's been doing this since he was 15. Just another day. I wasn't surprised. I'll admit, I'm a little surprised. I'm a little surprised that he basically walked up to the commissioner of the league and told him, bleep you, get the bleep out, whatever he said. I mean, that's, wow. You know, you don't think there's a lot of guys who would have loved to have said that to Roger Goodell? You can't say that to Roger Goodell. You can't say that to any other commissioner. No league is just dominated by the players union quite like Major League Baseball, man. It's really something. It really is. It's not, it's like a hammer and a nail is what that rivalry is like, you know. And but what really sucks about this is that knowing that this is where things are, this is where tensions are, and they're not even going to start talking about this new CBA until what, next year? It expires the year from December. So, like, there's plenty of time here for this to get worse. And what do you expect? Do you think cooler heads are going to prevail here? Or do you think that this is going to grow into something worse?
Well, if this is any indication, then I'm not feeling great.
I'm not feeling good either. And I know this is just one guy, and Bryce Harper's probably a little bit out of touch with the rest of the players in the league. But you can tell the owners have had enough of just getting bitched around all the time by the union. It's been going on my whole life. And they've made some strides lately, I guess, but the salary cap thing's still a big one. And baseball, they still just hold all the cards here with this, and they always win. The union always wins. So if we're heading towards another lockout, and listen, as I said before, nothing would sum up Major League Baseball and their utter incompetence than another work stoppage right as you finally start turning things around and the ratings are going up and young people care about it again. And, more people are watching, more people are going to games, more people are buying hats and jerseys and beers and hot dogs. And what are you going to do? You're going to turn around, pick another fight with the union, and go down in flames again with some other work stoppage or a lockout. Doesn't it just seem like that's exactly where we're headed? Doesn't it just seem like that's exactly what's going to happen? Because it's baseball. It's Major League Baseball. This is what they do. Anyway, maybe you'll see some kind of resolution to this. But I'll tell you what, that doesn't make me feel good. That's for sure. All right, last episode. And that is a story coming out of Las Vegas, Nevada. As we know, Christian Wilkins, who was released by the Raiders last Thursday, some stuff has come out about him and what he was doing and why he got released. I'm going to read this from the ESPN piece because there was a lot of rumors on Twitter about what he was doing. I didn't see any of those backed up or verified by actual accounts from players or even reports with, you know, reporters that I trust getting that type of story. I don't know where those came from. They may have leaked out from the locker room, but until I see him with at least a reporter attached to it, I'm not going to repeat those. But what has been reported is pretty weird. Christian Wilkins, who was released by the Raiders on Thursday, kissed a fellow player on the head, and the teammate took offense to it. This according to a source who told Adam Schefter. The incident was not the only reason Wilkins was cut. Wilkins has been recovering from a Jones fracture. What's a Jones fracture? Do we know what that is? Which he suffered in his left foot last October. I know he broke something. I thought he just broke his leg, but a Jones fracture, I guess I've never heard that before. Because of how Wilkins treated the rehab from his injury, the Raiders voided the remaining $35.2 million of guaranteed money left on his contract back on June 4th. He was released with the designation of terminated vested veteran. Wilkins asked the association to file a grievance on his behalf. The union did so on Thursday. Unfortunately, unlike Major League Baseball, the NFL union's a joke. Yes, this.
Jones fracture, a break in the bone that connects the pinky toe to the foot's base.
Got it. Okay. That's the judge. That should be called the wee-wee-wee all the way home fracture, I think. Last week's incident happened inside a team meeting room. One source told ESPN that the interaction was, quote, playful, but that the teammate didn't see it that way. I can see that. It's not known what the fellow player did following the incident. I'd imagine it was something like, gross. A complaint was filed with the Raiders' Human Resources Department. I wonder how many of those you could hear get filed by a player. What happened? He kissed me. Oh. He did? Where? On the head. Yeah? Yeah. Human Resources investigated the incident. The Raiders declined to comment. Last offseason, Wilkins signed a four-year, $110 million deal with almost $85 million guaranteed. He had 17 tackles, 2 sacks, and 6 QB hits in 5 games before undergoing season-ending surgery for that wee-wee-wee all-the-way-home fracture. Okay, so a couple of things. Number one, this Wilkins here is a local guy. Springfield and ended up playing at a prep school in Connecticut, which I just had this open, and now the name of it escapes me. And I know I was joking before about, you know, some of these prep schools around here, but I went to a prep school around here, not one that was overnight, okay? Not one of the, not one of those. Not boarding school. But, you know, we played a lot of those teams. Some, you know, it's just weird. In the boarding school, you do weird stuff at boarding school. People are doing weird stuff. I don't know. That's just, I heard rumors. I never saw anything. I was never saw it up close. And I don't know if this is still going on. It was 30 years ago that I was in high school, but you know what I mean? Like that, I heard that and I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. What if what he did was just kiss one of his teammates and the teammate didn't want him to, then you can't do that. You can't, even in a locker room, you can't do these things without consent. And we've come a long way from the days of Charles Haley and what he used to do in locker rooms, which I was talking with Ted about the other day. And if you want to find out more about that, you can Google it. But I'm just going to say that it was pretty bad. In fact, the New England Patriots back in the 90s had some issues in the locker room, but it was with female reporter. It wasn't with, you know, each other. But yeah, this is a weird one. Wilkins is a very good player, and he was having a good year before he got hurt. We'll see what happens. We'll see if someone picks him up or if more of these stories come out. And that's all the time I have here on the Christian Arcan Show. Stick around. Red Sox baseball is next here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.